669. Number 669 is our invitation hymn tonight, and we'll be singing that in just a moment. But we want to thank all of you for being here tonight. You know, this morning, how many of you are warm in here tonight? Anybody? How many of you were cold in here this morning? Anybody? One or two? How many of you were hot this morning? You see how difficult it is to accommodate everybody? I'm hot, and I'm going to pull this coat off, if that's all right. Yeah, I can preach. That's all. That's all that's coming up. Now, I can... I'll keep my tie on, okay? But it's warm in here to me. It is so hard to adjust the climatical air in here for everyone. It is, especially with the change of weather. You know, we try to keep it at a moderate level where it doesn't get too cold and it doesn't get too hot. And one thing, if you sit close to these vents over here and that air is on, you're going to get cold. I would suggest that if you get cold and you're on the outside, just come on down here and fill in these front pews. That would probably be the best. And I can assure you that I can fire you up from this point. I appreciate your being here tonight in all seriousness. And please bear with us because it really is difficult to accommodate everyone in terms of the air conditioning here in the building. It's extremely difficult. If you have your Bible tonight, turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 21. This particular event that we're going to look at tonight is the story of the feeding of 5,000. It is a tremendous miracle of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it is the only miracle of Jesus that is recorded in all four of the Gospels prior to the resurrection. Now, we know the resurrection of Jesus is recorded in all accounts of the Gospels. But this is the only miracle that Jesus actually performed that is recorded in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you just want to make a notation in your Bible out by Matthew 14, it is found in the book of John chapter 6 and the book of Mark chapter 9, Mark chapter 6, Luke chapter 9, and also in the book of John chapter 6. Well, let's begin the reading here, and I want to share with you some information about this because I think it really is important to help us understand that we ought to be willing to give unto Jesus what we have, and the Lord gives unto us what he has as well. The Bible said, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when the evening was come, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. So send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and buy for themselves food. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves. And 2 fish. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the multitudes. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 basketfuls, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Now, I want you to get the picture here, if you will. There are 3 things that I want you to look at. The first is the multitude itself. They were hungry. It was at evening. And the disciples didn't think they actually had the money to provide food for all of them. Now, Luke kind of hints at the idea that they did. Sometimes people would like to project Jesus and the apostles as vagabonds who didn't have anything at all. But that's not the case at all. Jesus even had a treasurer, if you will, named Judas, who carried the money bag for the necessities of life. Now, Jesus could provide those without money, obviously, as he did here. But in this particular setting, the multitude is a group of people who were out in a desert place. Now, that doesn't mean that it really was a barren place, like many would think when we think of the desert. But it was out away from the city and away from many of the villages. And they said unto Jesus, they did exactly what we were singing about a moment ago. Tell it to Jesus. Well, I mean, when they see this multitude of people, they are astounded and they're thinking, well, it's wonderful that they came out here to hear Jesus. But, you know, we're really facing a dilemma here to provide food for all these people that have gathered here in this particular assembly. They were hungry. Time has passed. And now they're wanting to know what they're going to do. They were hungry. They made it quite clear. Now, it could have been, you know, I don't know how many people there were. The Bible says that there were 5,000 men besides the women and the children. Now, they could have had as many as maybe 15 or 20,000 people. Who knows? We often talk about the feeding of the 5,000. But that really is an understatement, isn't it, when you really stop and think about it? They did feed 5,000 men. But I don't know how many of them were married, and I don't know how many of them had children. But perhaps maybe a large number of them did. But this multitude had gathered here, and many of the scholars believe it was near the city of Bethesda. And actually, it was in that Gennesaret Valley. And by the way, that particular word actually meant box lunch. And isn't that interesting? They're down not too far, not real far from the sea. And that's really what that word Beth, the original word in the Greek, meant, box lunch. And it wasn't uncommon for people to carry a box lunch like that young lad. But it is the only miracle, as I mentioned, that really is recorded in all accounts of the Gospels. And it actually ended the Galilean ministry of Christ. Jesus went on to other places. So now I want us to look not only at the multitude, but I want us to look at the master here in verse 16. Jesus said unto them, the disciples are trying to push them away, and he says, just go ahead and send them away. We don't have money to feed them. And the master said, they need not depart. This is the best news that a lost person can hear, isn't it? You remember the disciples were kind of like the, I guess you could say, the Secret Service of the President of the United States. And they kind of watched out for Jesus, and they were very careful as to who they would really let come into the presence of the Son of God. There were times, you remember, when parents were bringing their little children to Jesus, and the Bible says the disciples were pushing them away again, and Jesus said, allow the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus says here, there's no reason for these people to depart. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. Now, in the book of John, Philip's in question about it. He's asked the question here about how in the world are we going to feed all these people? Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. Someone said one time, it's kind of like telling your son, maybe who has a problem with his bicycle, well, now how are you going to fix that bicycle? Now, you know how you're going to fix it. But you're really challenging that child to really think for himself. You know, Jesus did that quite often. He asked those questions of rhetoric simply to get people to listen and to think. Now, notice the response of the disciples in verse 17. When Jesus said there's no need for them to depart, the response of the disciples was this: we have here but five loaves and two fishes. Now, let me tell you something again. Sometimes people confuse this particular feeding of the 5,000 with the feeding of the 4,000 recorded over in Matthew 15, and they're different incidences altogether. As a matter of fact, that's called the feeding of the 4,000 with seven loaves, by the way, if you read that account. When I read this story, I'm reminded of a statement found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 29. But God, Someone said one time, and I think there was a great hymn that was written about it. It's called Little Is Much If God Is In It. And isn't that true? It is true. Little is much if God is in it. And in 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29, Paul says, But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Now, sometimes people ask the question, well, why did Jesus perform this miracle? Well, we know that many of those things that Jesus did that were of a miraculous nature were happening to cause people to believe, as recorded in the book of John chapter 20, 30 and 31. For he says, many other things did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, but these things right now that are written that you may believe, and believing you might have life through his name. Notice what Paul goes on to say, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound those who are so mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which he says are not, to bring to naught the things that are, and no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, when I think about people who really gave what they had unto the Master, and of course a young boy gave his lunch to Jesus, as recorded in the book of John chapter 6. I think of Moses in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus chapter 4 in verse 2. When God challenges Moses and he says unto him, What is that in thy hand? And he turns to God and he says, A rod. And if you remember, that rod was used for a number of things. It was used down in Pharaoh's court where God performed a miracle. He did. You remember that he cast the rod down and it became a serpent. Well, Pharaoh's court and his magicians also produced serpents, but God's serpent from that rod devoured those of Pharaoh's court. It was that rod that God told Moses to stretch out across the Red Sea to part the waters. And they did part. I think about David in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Bible says, And David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, the scripture says, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. Who would have ever imagined, when Saul had sent out all of his armor bearers and everyone who possibly might have been able to take down this Philistine? But no one could do it. As a matter of fact, he intimidated them all day after day. This 9-foot giant. But David with just a sling. And he did it with the first shot. He slew him, the Bible says. But there was no sword in the hand of David. But he used what he had. Now think of that poor widow recorded in the book of Mark chapter 12. Kind of get the picture that Jesus is over against the treasury, the Bible says, and he beheld how people were casting in money into the treasury, and many that were rich were casting in a lot of money. They were casting in much. And there came a certain poor widow. Jesus never names her. That really wasn't important. She didn't want accolades. And he really wasn't trying to offer them to her other than to mention this particular incident. But this woman, this poor widow, came along and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing, very small amount. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Now that's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? He says, For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. So what Jesus says unto this multitude and to the disciples, go sit on the grass. And then he begins to perform a miracle. The multitude, the master, and now the miracle. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he blessed them and multiplied them. And the Bible in verse 21 of that text says, and they did all eat and were filled. Maybe they went away, to coin a phrase that was coined many years ago, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. They went away full. Jesus, my friend, satisfies the hunger of the soul. John chapter 6 and verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 20 said, they had plenty left over. 12 basketfuls. You know, that's an amazing miracle, isn't it? Jesus again saved some people from a very embarrassing moment. How many of you have ever had guests in your home and somebody dropped by and you didn't hardly have enough? You ever do that? How many of you like drop-in guests? How many of you do not like drop-in guests? I used to have a cousin that lived here, and I used to drop in occasionally on him. We'd sit there and talk, and you know who I'm talking about, Jimmy, Blake Campbell. And I guess I didn't know when to go home, and he'd get up and he'd go put on his pajamas, and I got the hint. It was time to go home. Well, these people were hungry, and Jesus was trying to do something to satisfy their hunger. I'm thankful tonight that we don't have to depart lost out in this world. For God supplies the bread of life. Didn't he say on one occasion, I am the bread of life? He satisfies our hunger. Jesus is going to give us what he has. I like that passage in the Old Testament where David said, I've been young and I've been old and I've never been forsaken. The righteous will have never been forsaken. I've never seen it. Nor God's people begging bread. I think this is probably one of the greatest miracles that Jesus ever performed. It is a great lesson for us. And it tells me that if God could do that for them, God can meet our needs today. And he does. He does. If you're not a Christian tonight, God is ready to meet your spiritual need. He is ready to forgive you, and he's very quick to forgive you when you call upon him. As a child of God, when we err and when we stray away and we find ourselves out there in the world floundering and not knowing what we're going to do, he is there to meet our need. And I'm so grateful and thankful tonight that that's the kind of God that we all serve and the God that we love. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, are you hungry for the meat that doth not perish? That's what Jesus said, didn't he? He said we should hunger for the meat that does not perish, but the meat unto everlasting life. If you believe in him with all of your heart, and you're ready to surrender unto him, to let God have his way in your life. These people didn't walk away. You know, when these people saw those loaves and those 2 fish, maybe in their mind they're thinking, now we're going to see what Jesus can really do. But none of them walked away. They sat down. They followed the teaching of Christ. And they waited for Jesus to perform. Sometimes we have to wait for Jesus to respond to us. He doesn't always respond in the way that we want him to. But I know one thing. He responds according to his word. And in his word, he says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He responds. But will you? While we stand and while we sing.